Hi, everybody. This is Richard Sachs, your host on Lost Arts Radio. Thanks for being with us. And those of you who are here from the link that I warned you against clicking on, and you did it anyway, you're here at your own risk, because we try not to be controversial on Lost Arts Radio, obviously, but we don't always succeed. And this time we really didn't succeed. We had two guests who were some of the most evil guests that we've had in a long time. We've had them slip through before and get in on the show before we realized what we were doing. And the same thing happened again. And the reason I'm giving you this unusual introduction before we get to the show is that these two nefarious guests slipped through the defenses to try to keep everything non-controversial and started talking. And Doug and I were on the Zoom conversation before we remembered that we were getting ready to start recording. So I thought, why don't we just, since the people who are here obviously are prepared to hear some evil conversation anyway, let's just open it all up and give them what they're looking for. And we won't start the show at a certain point. We'll just give you all of our private conversation as soon as these two guests called us. And that was Rima Labo, MD, Ralph Usatola, JD, the trustees of Natural Solutions Foundation. And they've been friends of ours for a long time, working for health freedom and now working for freedom in general and the survival of life on our planet, which seem to be pretty high priority projects. Good people. And that's why they're seen as so evil by the system. See what you think, but I'm going to let you write in on our discussion without an official start to the show, and we'll cut right into the conversation in progress. See what you think, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. So I just learned, as a matter of fact, I think I have the article still in my clipboard, so I'll put it up here. Yes. I just learned, you see me, the people with magnets sticking to the injection site.
Yeah, it's all well, new advertising and decoration sites.
Yes. People, I just learned, have been advised by the injection sites, or some of them, not to have an MRI for a minimum of 6 to 10 weeks, because the metal particles will tear your arm apart in a 50,000 Gauss magnetic field.
That's always irritating when it happens.
Yeah, it's always irritating when it happens, and it's not covered by insurance because it's an experimental device. It's not a recognized medical treatment, and exploded arms are sort of expensive. Right. So the consequences of that are that you can infer, I think, with complete certainty that the nanobots contain ferrous material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty what I would think.
Which means that the nanobots are there. You know, we've been speculating, but we didn't know. This, I think, is as close to proof as we're going to get until we get vials of the vaccine to analyze, which I am in the process of setting up to do. And I also want to set up laboratory examination by chromatography and spectrophotometry and PCR of the swabs of people's skin who have been jabbed and breath and urine to see just exactly, to characterize just exactly what they're transmitting. All righty. So, you want to hear some good news? You guys want good news?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'll tell you. No,
you don't have any.
Ralph and I are judges on the Tribunal for International Common and Natural Law and Health and Public Justice and window washing and whistling.
Yeah.
And it's a very, we have a broad remit.
Might as well take care of it all at once.
What?
Might as well take care of it all at once.
Absolutely. Awesome. And dental hygiene. And we've been serving cease and desist orders on various countries which are mandating the vaccine or using the vaccine.
Okay.
Well, the president of Grenada, and I hope he has a seriously good life insurance policy. The president of Grenada has just issued our cease and desist order for the country of Grenada to cease and desist the use of all COVID vaccines.
The president of the country did that?
Yes.
So what kind of system do they have? Like a Congress that works under him or a parliament?
They have a parliament and a prime minister.
So they decide what mental hospital he should go to, I guess.
Well, they killed the president of Tanzania. They've killed most of their top scientists in the same month. And they've killed several other African presidents who said, I don't think so. So that's why I hope he has good life insurance.
I'm so sorry. I'm a bit late, folks. I was working on a form of an order. The tribunal is going to order issue an order to cease and desist to various government authorities who are attempting to prevent doctors, nurses, and health caregivers and researchers from speaking the truth about what's going on with the so-called COVID vaccine. In fact, the province of Alberta has actually had their medical board issue an order telling physicians they're not allowed to question the public health measures that have been declared and decreed by the authorities. So this is a major assault on physicians as the learned intermediaries in our healthcare system. It's an attempt to turn physicians into basically nothing more than bureaucrats. It's one of the reasons why years ago we created the Health Keeper's Oath. And if people are interested in that, they can go to healthkeepersoath.org and find out more about our effort to allow health caregivers to publicly announce their refusal to cooperate with what one can only call Nazi/Soviet healthcare.
Yeah. We have to update the Health Keeper's Oath page. I just coined a new word. I'm so excited. I just created a new word.
You're going to give us exclusive on it right now? You're revealing it for the first time?
Yes. Okay. They're turning doctors and nurses into executocrats.
Wow, that sounds impressive.
That's good.
That makes them part of the elite then, right?
Yeah, until they're dead.
Special retirement plans and stuff like that.
Oh, the retirement plan's easy.
You know,
And
I was going to say in response to your comment, Ralph, just now, that it sounds like this is a global stepping up. And you let me know what you think about this, because you just mentioned what's going on in Canada. Both of you were talking about that. In the UK, which is closely tied to Canada, they have a bill in Parliament now that is expected to become law in a few months. And that is what to do about information that's put out by non-authoritative platforms and websites and things that may be true and it may be legal, but in their judgment could be harmful. And this new legislation will allow them to take down any platforms like the new ones that have been springing up that are giving out information that's legal and true, but in their estimation, harmful. And the same thing was brought up at a recent meeting in the World Economic Forum by Susan Wojcicki, or how do you pronounce her name? Is that incorrect? The president of YouTube. And she was saying that what they really need urgently is a way to deal with information that's legal, but it harms public health or is potentially harmful in any way. And
let me point out that every modern tyranny and totalitarian government, tyrannical and totalitarian government, without exception, has commandeered the medical system, the health system, in order to implement its tyrannical, genocidal, politicidal, freedomcidal agenda. And this is no different. This is no different. This was true in China under Mao. This was true in Russia under Stalin. This was true in Germany under Hitler. This was true each time a tyrannical, in Cambodia under Pol Pot, each time a tyrannical system arises that wishes to eliminate its enemies, it co-opts and commandeers the medical system for the good of the people and proceeds to wreak havoc, destruction, and tragedy. And that is precisely what we are seeing.
And it's made possible by the fact that people are educated to trust the medical system no matter what.
Well, they've been propagandized. They're not educated. They're propagandized.
It's like you corrected me before. I meant fake education. My mistake.
Yes. Yes. And I think that we have an opportunity as we speak together today and as we share this information to remind people that this is not a benign or a small factor in the tyrannical takeover of our lives and our very DNA. And people need to go to healthkeepersoath.org. People who are in any way connected with the health system, whether they're doctors, nurses, administrators, billing clerks, ward clerks, in any way, LPNs, whoever they are, if they're involved with the health system, people need to go to healthkeepersoath.org and register the fact that they will not allow their arts, skills, position, knowledge to result in harm to people and take away their rights, including their right of informed consent. So it's for the health keepers themselves to remind themselves and declare what their oath of responsibility is. And it's for the rest of us to know that more and more and more and more health keepers get it and will keep our health rather than surrender our freedoms for us.
It sounds great. I think everybody should go there. And it one thing that it brings to mind is that many of the global scale criminals and national criminals that are enforcing tyranny and ratcheting up the censorship and things like that, many of them have taken oaths never to do that.
Oh, right. Right. And those oaths sometimes are mere drapery, shall we say, and sometimes they actually have legal consequences and should be applied for legal sanctions and jail and so on to be applied. But I'm wondering, when Ralph returns to us, whether, Richard, it's your conversation, but I'm wondering whether Ralph could talk about the astoundingly important and positive developments that are taking place through the tribunal, the International Tribunal for Natural and Common Law and Health and Public Health and Justice.
I'd like to hear about that. Beginning with Ralph, for assuming that we're talking to the people who are hearing about all this for the first time, because I want to bring this them in, not just the people who already know what we're saying. And so what is it, that kind of an organization? Where did it come from? And, you know, what's it about?
Let's start by admitting a very terrible truth, and that is that our legal system has failed us. The court system has failed to protect our rights. It has allowed essentially an international fascist takeover of our countries, and it has done very little. There have been a few brave judges who have said that this or that particular restriction was illegal, but by and large, especially among the highest courts in the countries, there's been very little protection of traditional rights, including the universal right of informed consent and the right of speech. These have happened. And that's happened in the past as well during trying periods in human history. And as a result of that, over the past almost century, actually going back a century, a number of private individuals have attempted to bring the approbation of the public into focus against particularly egregious violations of rights. These people have formed what we've come to call tribunals of conscience. private tribunals that seek to learn the truth and to expose the truth. Now, I wrote an article at opensourcetruth.com. If you go to opensourcetruth.com and just search tribunals of conscience, you'll see the history, starting from the earliest efforts to end slavery in the 1800s, when basically religious-oriented commissions were formed by private persons to expose the horrors of slavery and to expose the complicity of the governments in those horrors. That went on, and it continued into World War One and beyond. Indeed, the among the most famous of those were the Russell-Sartre tribunals, the first of which was called to deal with some of the violations of right that occurred in Vietnam, the abuse of Agent Orange and that sort of thing. It was interesting to note when I did the research that there have been 46 subsequent tribunals of conscience in that one group, the Russell-Sartre grouping. There have been dozens of others. There is a Nuremberg 2.0 being convened essentially by some German and other European lawyers. And of course, Alfred Lambrot Weber, who's a lawyer in Canada, Canadian and American citizen, has spearheaded the natural law, the natural and common law tribunal, which has focused in on the pandemic. And it was for that tribunal that I was just drafting up an order telling the governing authorities that they may not deprive us of our right to speak what we consider the truth about their public health plans. So
the tribunal of which you're speaking, the Common and Natural Law Tribunal for Public Health and Justice, is focusing on the entire genocidal program. The pandemic is a very important part of it, but they're also including in their genocidal convictions the 5G and aspartame, which are also genocidal technologies that have been applied wholesale without the consent of the soon to be eliminated. And so this tribunal is a powerful assemblage of knowledgeable people. Ralph and I are both honored to serve as judges on this tribunal of conscience. And they have been, indictments have been laid and convictions have been made for all of the active guilty parties in these genocidal areas. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted people to have the information. Oh, by the way, the information is available at peaceinspace.org. And there's a tremendous amount of information, including the evidence that has been assembled, which is monumentally huge. Go ahead, talk about what they're doing in terms of the pandemic and the wonderful, wonderful development that we've heard about today.
Well, today, that's what we've been discussing earlier, the what happened in Grenada. And I think that's really a significant issue. If it is true that the Prime Minister of the island has issued an order to stop the vaccinations,
the President.
I think Grenada is a British colony, so it would be a prime minister, and there would be a governor general appointed by Her Majesty the Queen, if it pleased the Queen, right? In fact, I visited Grenada back in the mid 1980s, just after the island was liberated from a particularly vicious and bloodthirsty crew of Marxists, and it came to really appreciate it as a beautiful place with very, very decent people who were really happy to have been rescued a few years short of the collapse of the Soviet Union from a group of people who, as I said, were just bloody maniacs. I'm glad to see the island still is upholding the rule of law, and that's really important.
Maybe you could talk about what it...
Sure, whether this has actually happened or not. And, you know, everything moves fast. There are things developing every day.
But maybe you can talk about the cease and desist orders of the tribunal and then what that means.
Right, right. The tribunal has actually gone through a process. It notified the defendants. It asked the defendants to submit their opposition. None of them did. It did research what the other side would be saying if they were willing to come before the tribunal, and it took that into consideration, and then it reached a decision and issued a judgment, which is a 30 or 40 page document detailing the violations of right that have occurred. Those decisions and the judgment have been served on the various parties in various ways. And subsequent to that, they've issued cease and desist orders to various governments around the world, including, by the way, Grenada. And it was interesting that it was just shortly after that that these developments have apparently occurred on that island. We have no, you know, as Stalin once said, how many divisions does the Pope have? We have no divisions. We cannot force the governments of the world to behave themselves. We only have moral persuasion and the power of public opinion. And historically, that's exactly what tribunals of conscience have done. They have brought to bear upon the folks in power the power of the light of truth. Now, we're living in a time when social media and governments are trying their best to stifle the light of truth and prevent us from talking. It is noteworthy that over a half a billion people are no longer on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. A few thousands because they were thrown off, like myself, but many millions because they are no longer willing to trust those, what I would call legacy platforms. Instead, they've gone on to uncensored platforms, at least currently uncensored platforms, such as Signal and Telegram. We've been using Telegram very extensively. We invite you all to join at telegram.org. And when you've done that, search for Open Source Truth as one word and join our chat. There are many other powerful chats. I've been watching, for example, closely over the past few days what has been happening in the Middle East, not over the cable television or the other legacy media, because they're not really reporting on it, but through some of the chats, which literally have almost real-time events. If the Iron Dome fires at the incoming missiles in Israel, within minutes, videos of it are on Telegram. If you want to know what's happening on Earth, you cannot trust CNN and CNBC and Fox News and the rest.
What's that address again, Ralph? Would you say it slowly?
Telegram.org. When you open it up, it's a very simple thing. You choose your platform and you download it. Once you've downloaded it, you can open it on your PC. You can open it on your telephone, and you can also set up your own. Telegram is one-to-many chatting, and you can control the chat that you initiate in a very useful way.
What did the tribunal say to cease and desist from?
Cease and desist from imposing mandates, masking mandates, vaccine mandates, and lockdowns.
There's something else. The cease and desist also says you must immediately cease and desist from using any of the COVID bioweapon so-called vaccines, the injections. And so they are demanding of the governments which have been served with this cease and desist, and there are quite a number of them, they are demanding that they immediately cease and desist from the use of these dangerous bioweapons. These are the same so-called vaccines that people are proudly announcing they're happy to have gotten either one or two of. And these are the same bioweapons that are now causing people to release, to transmit uncharacterized particles of some type that are spreading the profile of side effects from the jabbed to the unjabbed. And this is consistent with the research that DARPA has done over more than a decade to develop a communicable vaccination technology, meaning person A gets vaccinated, but spreads the effect of the vaccine, not the disease, but the effect of the vaccine, spreads the vaccination status to persons B, C, D, E, F, G, who then spread the effect of the vaccinated status. They vaccinate persons H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And soon everyone is vaccinated, regardless of any kind of informed consent, through a contagion, through an initiated intentional contagion. And the jabs appear to be, the COVID jabs appear to be successful in creating this unwelcome and unasked for contagion of effect.
Is that the same as they call self-replicating vaccines?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay. So the question, once that's going on and once more people start to understand that's not really something that you would want getting into your body, then...
Well, maybe you would want to be jabbed with the COVID jabs, in which case, go ahead and do it, but don't you dare do it to my body.
Right. So what I was going to say is that brings up the question of defense against that.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we think we know so far through the excellent work of the outstanding scientist Judy Mikovits is that there is a preparation patented in 1916 by Bayer, not surprisingly, called Suramin. And Suramin is extracted from pine needles. Suramin is a drug that's available intravenously. It's not really a very benign drug. It's been used widely, but it has quite a number of side effects, including blindness, can sort of mess up your life. Suramin has been used for sleeping sickness, trypanosomiasis, caused by the trypanosome, which is a parasite class. And so since the self-replicating protein, the spike protein that we've been hearing about, causes the symptoms of both COVID and the adverse events up to and including death from the jab, in a way that's similar to the way the trypanosome causes its problems, Dr. Mikovits began looking at the extraction of the compounds that can help you from pine needles, from the Douglas fir, from the arbor vitae, from the white pine, not from the yew tree. The yew is not a pine, and it's really quite poisonous. It looks like a pine. But from the correct kind of pine needles, easily available, make a simple tea. And we've published this information on Open Source Truth, by the way, opensourcetruth.com and Telegram Open Source Truth. So you make a 10-minute water extract of the pine needles, and you drink about 3 cups of that a day. And it would seem as if this should be reasonably protective. But that's a lot of vagary. We don't know yet.
If you found one of those pine trees that's considered to be non-toxic and suitable for use that way, and you chewed up some needles, would that give you any benefit?
Probably not. This is an extraction process. And the safest and simplest way to extract the compounds, which include vitamin A and vitamin C, by the way, the simplest and most effective way is to chop the needles into smaller pieces to increase the surface area of the inside. Yeah. And then put that into a French press or a tea strainer and pour water that's just less than boiling. You don't want actively boiling water. You want water that's cooled a little bit or hasn't gotten to boiling yet, you put that in for 10 minutes. And when the pine needles go from the color that they were when you started to a deeper, brighter green, you know how spinach turns a deeper, brighter green when it's cooked. As soon as that happens, then you strain out the pine needles, discard them, and drink the tea.
So the reason they don't want to boil it or get it too hot is you want to also preserve as much of the delicate components like the vitamins.
Exactly.
Like
that. Precisely.
Okay.
And it's really, actually, I was prepared for it to be really gross, but it's quite mild and pleasant. Where I live in the desert, there are arbor vitae pines in great profusion. And other than the bird lime, which can be washed off before you do anything with it, they're perfectly clean. The chemtrail things.
It's interesting, too, if you use a whole food source like the pine needles rather than a chemical extract, you don't have the side effects, right?
That is absolutely correct. There are hundreds and hundreds of compounds that balance each other in whole source extracts that are completely discarded because you can't patent those. You can only patent a single molecule, as in Suramin, patented in 1916 by Bayer.
So they have this made-up concept of what's called the active ingredient, and they discard most of what makes it valuable. And that way it can be patented, but it becomes dangerous in a lot of cases, right?
Well, I have to disagree, Richard. It is the active ingredient. It's the financially active ingredient.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm not even so I didn't know that. okay. So, and I want to bring up also for people that don't know from before, because I'm always trying to help the new people fit in too. Natural Solutions Foundation is the organization which you and Ralph are both being trustees of and running.
And exactly.
What is it? What's it doing now? And there used to be a website that was Natural Solutions something itself, right? Do you still have that?
The website is Dr. Rima Truth Reports, .com. Dr. Rima Truth Reports, .com. DRRIMA Truth Reports, .com. And that does exist. But the action is taking place at opensourcetruth.com and Open Source Truth on Telegram. Because there
is also mentioned, Dr. Rima, nsfmarketplace.com.
Yes.
Where you can get the AVD cards, the Advanced Vaccine Directive cards, which is important, a major way we're funding the foundation. Foundation works with other organizations as well. Dr. Rima and I are both trustees of the Institute for Health Research, which is an exempt organization that can accept tax-deductible donations. Foundation does not accept tax-deductible donations because we want to be free to express our opinions without the type of control that comes from being an exempt organization. So we have two. We have the Institute and the Foundation. We work together in the separate areas where they can each work. Institute's website is inhere, INHERE.org.
And we have a journal at inhere where we publish things that the conventional pharmaceutically controlled, government controlled medical journals, scientific journals, really would rather you not know. So inhere.org is a very important site, opensourcetruth.com, and NSF Marketplace, NSF standing for Natural Solutions Foundation. At the marketplace, you will not find nanosilver. The nanosilver that we know and love and trust has been voluntarily removed, secondary to the assault by the FDA, that's the Fraud and Death Administration, which is suing Ralph personally, suing me personally, and suing the Natural Solutions Foundation in the Third Circuit of the Federal District Court in New Jersey for telling the truth. That's a very interesting case. And so the truth that we were telling was that we believe that natural support and function of the immune system is supported by nutrients like nanosilver. And we believe that the threat of disease is significantly reduced when the immune system functions. These are highly radical positions. And they have taken the position that because we have shared things like the Department of Defense Department of Threat Reduction research showing that our nanosilver prevented hemorrhagic viruses like Ebola from attaching, penetrating, and replicating inside a cell, that somehow or other that's making a cure claim, which is illegal in the United States, for nanosilver. We, of course, contest that that is not so, but you won't find nanosilver. What you will find is the Advanced Vaccine Directive card, which is a legal assertion of your right to refuse vaccines. Not only experimental vaccines or so-called vaccines like the COVID ones, but any medical procedure like a vaccination that you do not wish to have happen to your body. It's called the right of informed consent. And we have the unmask. We have masks that in no way impede the flow of oxygen. Fauci, after whom I have named a new term for medical tyranny, Fauchism. Fauci says we're going to have masks forever. We're going to have social distancing forever because who? What? Okay, not rational, but bureaucratic. And so at the NSF Marketplace site, you'll find masks that have been designed by me to in no way reduce the flow of oxygen and cause the buildup of carbon dioxide, bacteria, viruses, et cetera, that conventional masks do, to say nothing of the Morgellons-like fibers that have been found in so many of commercially available masks. So those
that's
are
right out of the package too, right?
Right out of the package. Right out of the package. The same package, these are little blue and gray surgical pleated masks, the same package that remarks that they are not to be used for prevention of COVID-19. Because right. They don't.
Right, but if you don't use them, then you're in serious trouble.
Well, if you don't use some kind of a mask, we looked at the legal requirements for a mask, and I will probably absent myself for a moment and go get several masks and show you what they look like. I'll be right back.
Yes.
Keep talking. Continue. I'm going to turn my camera off.
Okay.
A little bit about that. That's a very interesting situation. And by the way, the law student is taking some interesting developments, not all of which I can talk about, but let it be said that we filed a formal petition with the FDA to allow us to make claims about silver about a month before they sued us. Maybe they should have paid attention to the petition. But anyway, we hope and we expect that the courts will take a look seriously at the science behind silver. The FDA will look at that science and come to the conclusion that there are things that we can say about silver and about the reduction of risk of infection. We think the science shows that, and we're ready to show that in a court of law. So I'm looking forward to it. It's not a battle we want it necessarily. In fact, if we had tried to sue the government, we probably would have been tossed out for lack of standing. But
right. So I have a Dr. Rima, before you get into that completely, I had a question about something you said. You said that citing the defense threat, I was going to say the Defense Health Reduction Agency, but I'll say the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, and that they had a little demonstration that they wrote up in a paper that showed that Ebola was knocked out by nanosilver at 10 parts per million. And I saw that as well. And my question is that you were criticized for citing that, because somehow citing it was you making a cure claim. And isn't it more accurate to say that the defense, I don't know if you want to call them the health reduction agency or the threat reduction agency, but wasn't it they that were making a cure claim?
No, no one was making a claim. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency declassified in 2009 a study, and they released slides in a PowerPoint presentation on this study that showed that they had taken various nanosilver concentrations from 50 down to 10, and they had put those nanosilver concentration solutions in the presence of normal cells and hemorrhagic viruses. Ebola was one of them, Marburg, Karib, there are a number of hemorrhagic nasties out there. So they looked at what happened when the viruses and the cells were in the presence of the silver at various concentrations and when they weren't. Right. And they found that the most effective concentration and material for inhibiting the contact attachment, then the penetration and the intracellular replication of the virus was, as it happened, the very nanosilver that we have previously marketed as Dr. Rima recommends nanosilver, 10 parts per million. My nanosilver was the most effective. Now, I didn't know that they were doing this study. I didn't know at the time that it had been declassified, but we found it in the literature later during the Ebola virus events of 2014. And we shared the study. We shared it with in a special video made for the ministers of health of the afflicted nations. We shared it widely on an internet page, and we made no claims of cure. We said, looky, that's probably the delivery guy. We said, looky, this, isn't this interesting? And it's our nanosilver that was the most effective. Looky that. And that somehow turned into you are making illegal claims. Ralph, you're the legal person. Am I misstating any of this?
No. What the study showed was that in the presence of nanosilver, the living cell's natural ability to prevent attachment, penetration, and replication of viruses was very strong, very powerful. Just like there's another study that showed that certain antibiotics work better when people receive nanosilver along with the antibiotic. It enhances. It doesn't treat anything at all. It enhances natural capacity.
And so the FDA wrote to us and they said, stern warning letter, you have criminalized, you are creating illegal circumstances by turning nanosilver into a drug, an unapproved drug, that's a crime in the United States, by saying that it will cure, prevent, mitigate, treat, or diagnose a disease, which is, of course, illegal under U.S. law. And Ralph, brilliant Ralph, wrote back and said, au contraire, in the presence of a normal immune system function, there can be no disease. Therefore, this substance has not been shown to treat, prevent, mitigate, diagnose, or cure anything at all. It just does support normal immune structure and function. And they wrote back.
A virus in your bloodstream is not a disease.
Not at all.
It's part of the normal microbiome.
Exactly. And so they wrote back. Yeah. They wrote back and said, I'm sorry, go ahead.
As you told me, Dr. Rima, the virus in the body, when it's not penetrating, actually helps teach the immune system how to deal with it.
Correct.
So the win-win all the way around. Sorry.
And so they wrote back another letter and they said, grumble, grumble. And Ralph wrote again and said, nope, not a problem. You know, think about it. And they went away, and we didn't hear anything from them from the 2014 Ebola events until last May, about a year ago, when we still hadn't heard from them. I received a couple of months after that. I am hanging up on that call. A couple of months after last May, I received a call from a USA Today reporter who said, "Hi, I'm a USA Today reporter, and I want to talk to you about the warning letter that you have received about coronavirus." And I said, "Say what? The who, the what, the how?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, you're on the list of 300 companies that have received warning letters for making claims to cure coronavirus." I said, "Well, looky, Dad, I didn't know that, because I think the government is supposed to notify you when they do that, but they didn't." And I called Ralph and I said, "Golly, Williker, gee, do something." And so he went and he knew where to go to look and found it. And he found that there we were. And that was how we discovered that we had been singled out again. And following, we entered into a communication with them. And suddenly, the Department of Justice and the misnamed Department of Justice and the FDA were suing us in federal court and wanted an immediate injunction to protect the public good after we had already taken the product off our website and scrubbed our website of references in order to be in a position to negotiate with them. So that was interesting. And that's where we are now.
Wow. So they don't want to know if it works. They just don't want you to talk about it. And it brings up a question. What Ralph was talking about on the tribunal, and I, you know, had several questions. One was what countries these cease and desist orders went out to, and did that include major countries, you know, European countries, the UK, the United States?
The answer is yes.
Okay, good. And so my question is, you've got all these cease and desist orders out there, and on the other side, you've got governments like that of the UK proposing bills to outlaw legal true speech if they think it's harmful.
Right.
And they expect that to pass this summer.
Yes, they do. And we actually, with the privatization of censorship that we're living with in the United States, we have completely skipped the statutory process and gone directly to the implicate reality that whatever Google and Twitter and Facebook and the other major platforms are instructed by our government, which licenses them, to do, they do, and whatever they want to do on their own, they also do. So we've even skipped the legislative process.
Yeah, it's much more efficient not to bother with that.
Much more efficient, yes.
And that's, you know, if people want to protest against fascism, they need to actually understand that is what fascism is. It's when government uses corporations and blends with them to enforce things that the government alone might have a legal problem doing.
Precisely. And so we now are in federal court. And as Ralph said, if we had wanted to sue the FDA, which we have wanted to do for more than a decade, we would have had the issue of standing. Now they have done us the favor of bringing us into federal court, granting standing to us. Oh, thank you, FDA, because we have some strategies up our sleeves that we think they're not going to be terribly happy with.
Or at least they'll move in a better direction and come to an understanding of what we've really accomplished with the research we've done and the research that they've paid for.
We want
the government to do the right thing, and we're hoping that they will do the right thing, or that the courts will lead them in that direction. I think it's a real good opportunity. However, litigation like this is expensive, and we really need help in making it happen. So, folks, buy those AVD cards. That's how we support the foundation, mostly the cards and the masks. Go to nsfmarketplace.com every
and your generous and your generous addition to whatever the price in the checkout is, if you even just round up to the next dollar, or if you added a contribution, or if you go to inhere.org and make a tax deductible donation, we absolutely will need support to pursue this case, which is of enormous importance to all of us. Enormous importance to all of us. The FDA, back when I was spending my life up to my eye bones in Codex Alimentarius issues, I attended a Codex Alimentarius committee meeting in Washington, D.C. With General Burt, and Dr. Schneider, the head of the U.S. Codex Alimentarius effort, said that her name wasn't Schneider. I'm blocking her name. But anyway, she said there has been no, oh, no, it wasn't she. It was the previous head. There has been no research on safety and efficacy of vitamins, mineral and nutritional supplements. And therefore, the United States cannot support using vitamins, minerals, and nutritional supplements as a health strategy. And I thought, oh, thank you so much for saying that. So I went home and I did a little bit of research and I submitted a document on behalf of the organization, which listed, I don't know, 10,500 pieces of research. I forget the exact number, but some vast documentation of the research that had been done, of which 90% had been paid for by the United States government. So they do make misstatements, and then it's easy and satisfying but time-consuming and expensive to refute those. And once that's done, it has to be disseminated.
Right.
People have to understand that the agencies that we've been trained to trust, the medical establishment and the governments, lie as a matter of ordinary communication efficacy.
I have a question about that in particular, since you're not only a doctor, but a psychiatrist too, even though you're not dispensing toxic chemicals as medicine, which is a strange custom that's kind of caught on. The agencies that you're referring to that put out knowing disinformation all the time, is that intentional at the top levels and then the lower levels just follow it to keep their jobs? Is that because they must know that this stuff is false?
They know. Of course they know.
So the ones who are just hired to work there as employees, they're not necessarily evil, right, of intent.
Not necessarily. It's my contention that the middle folks and the folks below them tend to be good-hearted men and women who think that they're pursuing their profession, but they quickly cotton to the fact that they're being asked to lie. They're, for instance, FDA scientists and EPA scientists regularly write letters of protest when their work is ignored or distorted or canceled. And so they quickly figure it out, and there's a culling process, you should excuse the expression, by which the more principled people leave, because that's not how they want to spend their careers.
And this could apply to pretty much all the major government agencies, I would think.
And the medical profession. And
medical industry as well, yeah.
Probably the legal profession as well, would you say, Ralph?
Yeah, I would say. I think the legal profession knows about the Geneva Conventions, the Nuremberg Code, and they understand the existence of something called the right of informed consent. It doesn't fit in with their prejudices anymore, and they're trying to undo a century of legal precedent, of course. But if we are strong in our position, if we tell the truth, I don't think they'll get away with it.
It depends entirely on what we do, on how strongly we say what I consider to be the three most important words of a free man or woman. Don't you dare.
This also applies not only to people within all these agencies in the health industry, but it occurred to me that it's a big issue with law enforcement as well.
Oh, yes. Sure. I think Ralph is probably better prepared to speak to that as an attorney than I am. And I think that's a very important point, Richard.
Well, that's the people that are forcing people to go along with this stuff primarily. Even when the health officials come for your protection and destroy your life, they bring the police with them to do it.
Oh, yes.
And so the police have a moral dilemma, or at least before they get called, leaving only the ones that don't. And that is, if I see what I'm being ordered to enforce is illegal and immoral, what do I do?
It is a moral dilemma, and but it's not a legal dilemma. Legally, they must not violate people's rights. There is no, okay, I was just following orders excuse.
That's the legal, but that's the legal dilemma they face, is knowing they're being ordered to do something illegal.
And it's not a legal dilemma. What Ralph is saying is correct. There is no legal dilemma. The law is very, very clear. They may not follow.
There's no question that we're facing a situation in which the people who work for the government, in order to keep their jobs, are willing to violate our rights.
That's what I'm saying.
We've proven it over and over again in the past year and a half. We know there's no institution in our society has actually done what it was supposed to do. They've all failed us.
Yes. In Ontario, and I believe across Canada as well, the police unions are saying we will not enforce lockdown / COVID edicts because they violate the rights of the people. That's extraordinary.
It is, but what's the conflict between those unions that are saying that and the police in the street that are clubbing people because they don't have a mask on?
That's a pretty good question. So what we have to do, we have to reach, this is where something like your program, like the Dr. Rima Truth Reports, like Open Source Truth, like your website, like all the other truth tellers, this is where the real battle is. It is truly, literally, for the minds and hearts of the people who have to make the daily, minute-by-minute choices. Do I follow this? Do I enforce this? I know it's wrong. What do I dare do?
Right. We just had a guest on last night that we recorded that will be out soon that has a restaurant right in California in the Los Angeles area that has been attacked by the government because he's not, you know, acknowledging the mask mandates and everything that goes with that. And he, instead of leaving the state, which a lot of people are trying to do right now, he's saying, no, if you leave the state, it's going to be like calling those agencies. And the only people there will be the ones who are just giving up everything.
Right.
So instead of that, he made a law that you are a rule, a policy, mm-hmm, that you can't come into his restaurant or on his property unless you get rid of the mask.
I love it. Incredible. Now, in Arizona, we now have a law saying that the I'm going to use the term vaccinated because it's what people know, but I really mean the jabbed people who have accepted the COVID weapon.
Right.
If saying that you cannot treat jabbed and unjabbed people differently. And when that passed, I thought, yay, because I, as an unjabbed person, cannot be excluded from a store or a venue or whatever, as is happening in so many places with the COVID passports in Israel, in New York, et cetera. Then when it became known that the jabbed are transmitting a self-replicating contagion of probably spike proteins and God knows what all else, because there's no reason to think that it's just the spike protein, by the way.
Right.
And by the way, that very well may include prions, or prions as it should be pronounced, which are misfolded proteins, which is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So once I realized that these jabbed people were endangering my life and my pet's life, by the way, animals tend to die after they've been patted by these contaminating people. I realized that it was the jab who needed to be quarantined, probably permanently, because my assessment is that this will be a permanent state of pathogen replication in their bodies pretty much forever. And so they need to be differentially treated in order to protect me.
So what do you do?
Well, one of the things that I do is I am now avoiding places where I believe that I will come in contact with the 44% of the United States population that is jabbed. Another thing is that, and I've just been talking with Ralph about this morning or yesterday morning, I can't remember. We, the unjabbed, need to reorganize the world according to our likes and needs. So, for instance, my friend and our colleague, Tom Cox, who is a gourmet chef as well as a professor of poetry and a social activist, in addition to those things, he is going on the 22nd to be holding the first of the Unjabberwocky Cafe events in his the grounds of his Dharma Center, and he will be serving a gourmet dinner. He made the menu for me last night so I could try it out. Oh, it's wonderful. And I will be lecturing, we'll be filming that. And I'm suggesting that people start doing this. They start doing unjabberwocky activities. Another thing, I need somebody to help me clean the house because it needs it and I don't have time. But I don't want a person who's been jabbed contaminating me and my household. Therefore, we are considering going on Telegram and creating an unjabberwocky resource for people who need to connect with other people socially, practically, professionally, etc. We need to reorganize the society to protect our needs and interests.
So, of course, it's an honor system to find out if they're telling the truth, right? Unless you come up to them with a magnet and see if it sticks on their arms.
Right, right. Yes, it is an honor system. That is true. And at this point, I'm only slightly comforted by that, but it's the best we've got at the moment.
Sure, sure. It's a first step. And people are talking about creating complete parallel civilization instead of trying to change all the existing institutions, which seem to be a little resistant to that at the moment.
Slightly. They don't seem to be welcoming us with open arms. I don't know why. Do you know why, Ralph? Do you know why the society is not saying, thank you for telling us what's wrong and thank you for wanting to fix it? Here, please go ahead.
It is, you know, it is a great question that needs to be answered. I understand why the elite are behaving the way they are. They think they're getting what they want from this disaster. But why are all the what we call Karens, the people who are enforcing the rules, even when they shouldn't be enforced, such as when, you know, shouting at people who have masks not fully on, even though those mask wearers could legally and lawfully refuse to wear masks because the masks were stopping them from breathing.
I think they believe the medical system.
Yeah, they believe the propaganda.
Yeah, but the
they don't people have money. They can't. They don't think for themselves.
The
they
people
don't
who work
see
as
what's happening around them. They accept the big lie. The big lie works.
Because
thousands of people are dying from the vaccine, and the big lie is
no, it's millions, Ralph. But Joe Biden says it was 200 million, and that was months ago. It's probably almost all of us by now.
From the vaccine?
Biden,
no, from the terrible virus. I'm sorry.
Biden also says that that the 44% who have been vaccinated are not enough, and it's going to be up to 60% of the adults by the end of the month,
right?
In just 2 weeks.
And so you will remember.
Let us predict something. In fact, Dr. Rima, I think you'll join me in this prediction. A few weeks after the start of the mass vaccination program, we began to see an uptick in the alleged COVID deaths and COVID infections.
That's a variant,
a great upswing coming forward, and they will claim it's a new variant of COVID, even though it's the people who are vaccinated who will be dying of the of whatever they're dying of. We have to predict that, and we have to remind people that we did predict it. And so when it happens, and the big lie technique is used to attempt to cover up the deaths and pretend that they are just part of the pandemic, people will be primed to understand that they are being lied. You know?
Last week, the statistic was released by the CDC that in excess of 64% of the people who have symptomatic COVID and are requiring treatment and hospitalization are fully vaccinated.
That proves the variant theory, of course.
It proves the variant theory if you are willing to be lied to. What it proves is what we have always known and what Professor Maniotis showed brilliantly. He's a professor of epidemiology, that you can predict outbreaks, epidemics, and pandemics of particular diseases by documenting where the vaccination programs are, because that's where the outbreak, the epidemic, and the pandemic will be, as in polio, which WHO and CDC now admit on their websites is caused by the polio vaccine. That's the primary cause of polio in the world, vaccination with the polio vaccine. That's not dissimilar from the other situations. If you look at the inserts that accompany the vials of vaccines, you will see if it's a measles, mumps, rubella, that measles, mumps, rubella symptoms are a side effect of vaccination. If it's a flu vaccine, flu-like symptoms are a side effect of vaccination. If it's a cholera vaccine, cholera-like symptoms are a side effect of vaccination. In other words, the disease is potentiated.
Well, as long as it's just cholera-like symptoms and not cholera.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
if you die like from cholera-like symptoms, then it doesn't count because you've been vaccinated.
Exactly. Yeah. And just for full disclosure of what's in the COVID-19 vaccines, they have special inserts that are blank.
Yes. I was going to mention that. Thank you. Special inserts for patients and physicians that are completely blank.
Right. It's to save you the stress of all that reading the microscopic.
Because print. It could make you anxious when you read that you could have thrombocytopenia, that you could have cardiovascular collapse, that you could, oh, wait, they left those off the package insert. Their committee identified 120 of these very serious side effects, and then they left them off the package insert that did have ink on it, let alone the blank ones.
Yeah, exactly. This is just a new step forward in efficiency to leave it blank.
Yes, right. Yes. No one has to read anything.
So you've got a lot of people, as you said, within these agencies and health departments and everything that do understand that, especially the public health agents, that what they're saying might not be precisely accurate, you know, with the pandemic and everything, but they're all, you have millions of employees learning that they have to lie, making that decision in order to keep their job, because, I mean, what are they going to do if they don't?
I am remembering the Surgeon General of the United States. I believe his last name was Abrams, but I could be wrong. A very elegant, articulate man in his public health service uniform, because it is a branch of the military, you know.
Yeah.
And he had epaulets and little gold stars, and he looked oh so spiffy. And he's standing, you can find this on YouTube. He is standing in front of a table, and the Surgeon General of the United States, an eminent physician, one would imagine, takes a piece of black t-shirt fabric. And he folds it this way, and he folds it that way, and then he folds it the other way, and he folds it into a rectangle, and he puts two rubber bands around the narrow ends of the rectangle, wraps them around it again, and takes this square of t-shirt material, wraps the rubber bands around his ears, and has now successfully demonstrated how to make a virally effective protection mask against COVID-19 from a t-shirt. The scientific validity for which is less than the hypothesis that the moon is composed of green cheese. It's less scientific than that. And the number of folds, one second, the number of folds that he made, folded again, folded again, folded again, fold the ends in, folded again, would obstruct any free flow of any gas, but not of a virus. And so it was absolutely elegant, bonkers nonsense, which passed for public health. He doesn't know. Oh, come.
Okay, well, one thing is, I mean, he was telling the truth, because if you die of suffocation, you're not dying of a virus, right? Number one.
Mm-hmm. Unless you die of bacterial pneumonia from all the crap that got trapped in there and in the moist, dark environment had a chance to propagate.
Yeah, if you keep breathing long enough for that. But the other thing is, all the people below him who are just in the system, who know what's going on, they're not really perpetrators intentionally, but they're keeping their job.
They are perpetrators. I'm sorry. Once they become aware that this is being said, and once they have scientific education, or they've read the reports, or they transcribe the meeting, the secretary transcribes the notes of the meeting that said, well, we could do this, you know, I mean, it won't work, but, you know, people will buy into it. Those people are perpetrators. I'm sorry. I disagree with you completely. Anybody who has caught to any of this and is going along with this is part of the death machine.
Right. And so I totally agree with your disagreement. However, I was using the wrong word. They didn't originate the policy that they're enforcing. But
doesn't matter.
But they've made the decision to go along with it because that's their education and their money supply. And we've got
millions of
people doing that.
So come on, Fred, my cousin has a gun. We'll go rob the store. Come on. Don't be such a coward. Come on. Just get in the back of the car. Come on. It'll be fun. You didn't originate that plan, but you were a party to it.
Right, right, right. And the education for your last 20 years in school has prepared you to help with the bank robbery.
Exactly.
And it's too late to have a new education. So it's the only efficient thing to do.
Exactly.
Right.
So these people are perpetrators. There's no legal issue. There's only a moral issue.
Right. And what our restaurant friend on who was on the show who banned masks in his restaurant was saying is that anybody that doesn't tell the truth from the public, if they know it, is also a perpetrator too.
Absolutely. We have a very well-established legal concept of accessory to a crime.
Right.
You're just as guilty as the guy who pulls the trigger.
And the just following orders excuse is famous now,
too. As Ralph said, no, the legal reality has been established. The constitutional sheriffs, who are the highest officers, legal officers in each county in the United States, some of them have said, wait, the buck stops here. This is not happening.
Right. Yeah, some are willing to arrest government officials and anybody else that breaks the law. So wrapping this up for the people that want to know, okay, what matters about all this really is what the individual can do to make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing you can do is don't get jabbed. Now that the Pfizer-BioNTech experimental emergency use authorization bioweapon, known popularly as a vaccine, has been approved for children from 12 to 15.
Right.
Protect your children. Protect your children. Do not allow them to be violated biologically. And that's what it is. Yeah. So you need to, and you need to speak out against against the concept that it's a good thing. Oh, yay, I've just gotten my second vaccine. Yay. Really? That's horrendous. You will have to pay the consequences biologically and socially for having been a sheep to the slaughter. So that's the first thing, don't. And the second thing is speak. And the third thing is make sure that your immune system is in tip-top shape. Exactly. And share the information. Don't be frightened. We are the power. They want us eliminated because we are the power.
You also said that remedies for the people that realize they made a mistake in getting this injection are being worked on and looked for. So if people are in that category, how do they stay in touch with whatever gets discovered for that?
Stay on opensourcetruth.com, either, and Open Source on Telegram. Sign up for the newsletter. Listen to programs like this, to the Dr. Rima Truth Reports on peopleforpeople.ning.com. That's the site that has really quite amazing shows. The internet is less and less and less and less of a resource. There was a time before the internet when people actually read things. They were called books. They were flaps of paper, all sort of stacked up together.
They were, we can show a picture of one later so people know. Yeah.
A lot of them have pictures, yeah. But not all of them. And so you need to find sources other than the controlled media for your information.
Right.
That's terribly important because what the controlled media is telling you is a lie. Just pure and simple, ipso facto. QED. They're lying to you because, as in the UK, the law that you mentioned will take truthful, factual information that opposes the general, the direction of the official narrative, and they will ban it and criminalize you for sharing. We can't let that happen. We have to take proactive stances now, protect our immune systems, look for the information, and share the information. The life you share may be your own because your neighbor didn't get jabbed and doesn't contaminate you.
Right, 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 exactly. Ralph, do you want to say anything at the close here before we...
The only thing is, folks, the future is up to you. You can be sheep or you can be people. It's your choice. We have the power and the numbers to assert our rights. And unless we assert our rights, they will be deemed waived.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah, thank you. When waking up, we can realize we're never actually sheep. We just thought we were. So you guys, thank you. And hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, pleasure. There goes Dr. Rima Labo and Ralph Usatola, JD, the attorney, and they're both trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation. Incredible people that have been working for a long time for specifically health freedom and to a great degree for freedom in general for everybody. The idea being kind of similar to what the United States was supposed to be founded on, which is individual freedom. That the idea is really simple. You just live however you want, think however you want, have your own decisions to make on what you believe, what you say, and what you do, as long as you respect the same right of everybody else. Don't trespass on their natural rights, which is what the whole thing is based on. It's not rights from government. Very simple concept. And yet, I don't know of any other country in the world other than America that has put those in the founding documents that say that the natural rights come from God, and that actually, because that's said in the U.S. founding documents, it says it's true for everybody, no matter where you live. So you can live in a totalitarian, vicious, you know, tyranny, and you have exactly the same rights as anybody in a so-called free country. And those are all morphing into other things now anyway. The free countries are in danger of disappearing and turning into tyrannies themselves, which is part of a global coordinated plan right now. And people like Ralph and Dr. Rima and many others, some of which we get the honor of meeting on our shows, are working for a better future instead of the culmination of the plan for darkness. We don't want that to happen. We'd like to see the opposite happen. And you probably can relate to that if you're listening to this show. So the message that they're giving out, and so many other great people that we've had on before and will be here in the future, is reminding you to take care of yourself. You don't have to have this idea of being selfless and let your body get run down and get yourself all burned out by trying to convince people of things that don't want to hear you. Take care of yourself first. Physically, get your health back as much as you can. See if you can get off poisonous chemicals. Those are not really medicine. And find out about real health information that's being violently suppressed all over the world right now. And take care of your health physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, your connection to your source, whatever you choose to call that or relate to it as. And if you just do that continuously the best you can, you're helping everybody who's connected to you. And what the quantum physics ideas and the quantum entanglement are all talking about is the people you're connected to who are going to be helped by what you're doing to take care of yourself. It's everybody. Even the people who are working intentionally against you, underneath that, they're susceptible to being influenced by positive frequencies, which are emanating from everybody all the time. So you're a very powerful being and don't have any limits that I know of, except the ones you believe in and those you have. So you might consider talking to your mind and dropping some of those and seeing what's really possible. And that's what this is all about. Hopefully people like Rima and Ralph inspire us to do more working on ourselves. And that enables you to have the most powerful, positive impact on the outside world in your physical actions as well. It all is based on your own consciousness. So hopefully we start a real pandemic of consciousness that'll spread all over the world. And things can turn around starting at any point that we choose. Don't overlook that. And if you want to have a way to feel positive, start working on yourself right now and see where things can improve and it's going to spread. So anyway, thanks for taking the time with us. Stay in touch at lostartsradio.com. And if we get knocked off some platform, you'll see where we're still on. Help us get around the censorship by spreading the shows as widely as you can if you'd like to do that. If you have resources financially and you want to help us stay on the air and get our projects done, because you realize we're not doing much commercially with advertising or anything. So you can go to lostartsradio.com and there's a donate button there if you have the means to do that, or at subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And the main thing that we're asking for, though, is not money unless you have the ability to do that. It's for you to do everybody the favor of taking care of yourself and being an example of what you'd like to see spread in real contagious fashion all over the world. And we can all work on that and support each other in doing it. So thanks for being here, and we'll look forward to talking to you next time.